Everbank Field on an August night with a northeasterly breeze that makes it feel like Chicago, somewhere in the upper Midwest. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars.com live in the pregame, brought to you by Everbank. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. And Jeff, well, you can't ask for any better playing conditions tonight. This is awesome.
That's fantastic. I mean, typically this could be one of those hot, humid nights, and Northeasters are good for a lot of things, and football's right at the top of the list.
The other thing might be fishing. Yeah, exactly. It just depends on where you are at the moment that the breeze starts to blow. The story, as John Osher is famous for saying, until it's not, is quarterback Blake Bortles. Take us back to the last 2 weeks, where he started camp and where he is tonight as he gets set to take on a mentor of his in Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I don't think you want to say that to Blake Bortles, of Ben being a mentor, but certainly the comparison has been drawn many times, and rightfully so, because they have very similar playing styles. And I think over the last couple of weeks, Blake Bortles is starting to find a comfort level in Greg Olsen's offense. You're starting to see routine throws look routine, and that was the biggest issue with Blake last year. The one thing, though, that you still want to see more of is the chemistry develop more with the wide receivers. We see it with the tight end and Julius Thomas, Mercedes Lewis, and Clay Harbor. But you need to find more with the wide receiving group as a whole.
Well, it seems like Hearns and Robinson are getting there. Obviously, Marquise with the hamstring, he's a ways away. Are you talking about those two guys, or are you talking about 3, 4, 5?
I'm talking about the number one group that will be on the field when they go to 11 personnel, which is one running back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. I don't know if they have really had one rep together all preseason long or in training camp with Marquise leading the lineup. That's the guy you want to have back at some point because he's just so dynamic, but he's slow with the hamstring injury. Allen Robinson has missed a little bit of time. He had some time off earlier in the week, but he appears to be fairly healthy. Want to see a big night out of him. But the group overall, you're seeing Blake throw the ball to the tight end group with comfort, and it's natural, and the completion percentage is high. It's not quite as high with the wide receivers yet, but that's something that typically takes a little bit more time.
It looks like he's comfortable with this offense that Greg Olsen brings in his first year back in Jacksonville. Is that a fair statement, and why and how is he so comfortable so quickly?
Well, I think he's more comfortable because I think the philosophy has changed greatly, much like Gus Bradley has had on defense for the last 2 years, and that keep things simple. It's the old KISS philosophy. Keep it simple, stupid.
Right.
I think they've kind of developed a little bit of that on offense with Greg Olsen, you know, over the last couple of years under Jed Fish, and not to criticize Jed Fish because some people can handle it, but you shouldn't have had a young group try to handle an offense that changed from week to week. Gus Bradley's always talked about offensive plays that are Sharpie plays, which are plays that you run each and every week, regardless of what the opponent does, and you challenge them to stop that. They have not been able to develop Sharpie plays in the last 2 years, and Greg Olsen has Sharpie plays that he believes in.
Is he waiting for the offensive line to develop a little further to be able to really go after those Sharpie plays?
Well, I think what we're going to see is a lot of those Sharpie plays tonight. They're going to run the core of their offense tonight. They're not going to run any of the tweaks or adjustment plays that they would typically run, because you got a little bit of the unknown going into the regular season with a new offensive system. But the Sharpie place for this team this year is going to be foundation, is going to be running the football. They're going to run the football. They're going to put three tight ends on the field sometimes and just run it. And they're going to continue to try and run it and run it and run it, take the pressure not only off the quarterback, but off a developing offensive line until they can get comfortable and prove that they can handle the pass protection on a consistent basis and not give up 71 sacks in a season. They will wait to do that.
I watched Luke Jokel dominate one day, and the next day watched Ryan Davis push him backwards. Where is he? Everyone points to him, number two overall pick. Is he ready to go? I mean, is this still his development stage? What do you see?
Well, he's still developing, and I think he's trying to find a comfort level in what he's doing. He's doing some different things technique-wise, and what you're referring to is earlier in the week in full pads. Ryan Davis beat him 2 for 2 in pass rush. I know the video's been circling around on the internet, but he's getting better on a day-to-day basis, but he still has moments to where he reverts back to being a little bit top-heavy and leaning forward. I think that will improve in time. The more confidence that he gains in the technique and the more success that he has in that technique, the better he will be and the more comfortable he'll be.
Two other jobs in the line that are open, right? And that is left guard with Zane Beatles and the rookie A.J. Cann, and the center spot with Luke Bianco and Stefan Wisniewski. So let's start on the left guard spot. Is it really open?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't draft an offensive lineman at the guard position that high and not expect him to compete for a starting job. A.J. Cann has had a really good week. But now the lights come on, and we got to see how he reacts when the lights are on and against a 3-4 football team, which you don't see on in practice on a day-to-day basis. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge for A.J. Cam. Zane Beatles has had just a Zane Beatles training camp so far. You expected him, and they challenged him to take a step up, and I haven't seen it yet. And A.J. Cam, to me, I think next week or the week after that, you're going to start rotating. Next week, probably. And then week three, I think whatever you go into that game with as your starting lineup will be the starting lineup at left guard.
His game is power. I mean, when you watch him, he's got great strength.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a Leon Searcy because he's that kind of power. There's not many offensive linemen in the National Football League that can get great movement out of defensive linemen. A lot of times it's stalemate, and you might get 1 yard of movement. A.J. Cam, we've seen him in training camp move guys 3, 4, and 5 yards off the ball. And once he gets up to the second level on linebackers, you kind of feel sorry for him. He's that good.
Handicap the center job right now. Bowanko obviously started 14 games there last year. Wisniewski started last year with Greg Olsen in Oakland, and they had great success together with David Carr. Derek Carr, sorry.
Yeah,
I get it wrong all the time.
I think tonight and next week's game in New York are going to be big determining factors because you got to make a decision when it comes to be game time. But I honestly think that these two players are very even, and they're a little bit different. Wisniewski's probably got a little bit more power, but Bowanko has much more athleticism. Wisniewski is, you know what he is. He is what he is. He's probably reached his ceiling. You've seen his best so far. With Bowanko, I think we still have much more to see. I think his ceiling is higher. If I had to make a decision now, I'd choose the guy with the higher ceiling. But I want to see how they react with the guys because both of them are going to play with the ones tonight, and I want to see how they play at game time.
If the Sharpie plays that you talked about are really going to be running plays, who would, because we don't expect T.J. Yeldon to play with the finger, is it by committee or is Yeldon going to be the workhorse back?
Well, I think Yeldon's going to be the workhorse back once we get to the regular season and his hand gets healed up. I think tonight we're going to see a lot of Denard Robinson and Toby Gerhart. I like the running back group, and I'm the first to admit I wasn't a big fan of T.J. Yeldon at the draft. I would have liked him in the third round. The only thing he's missing is great top-end speed, but he's got great, great short area quickness, as Paul Posluszny referred to in training camp. He makes cuts to where he can go from standing where you are to 3 yards over there at full speed. And he's anticipating the moves before the defender gets there. That's what I love about him. The more I see, the more I like. The challenge for him is going to be, coming back from a sprained hand, is that the scouting report on him is that he fumbles the football. That's what he had early in college. Now they say that he fixed it in college. But he's going to get challenged on that by teams around the National Football League.
Spend a minute or two on the defensive side. We know Dante Fowler Jr. will not be with the Jaguars this year. We don't know when Chris Clemons will be. So how does the Leo position shape up tonight and through the preseason?
Well, Andre Branch, I think, is probably going to be your starting Leo to maybe going into the regular season. He's had a tremendous camp. He looks great. He's healthy, playing like what he was before the injury last year, like what he's doing. I still think he has some limitations, but I think he's a very solid football player. I expect Chris Clemons to start practicing sometime next week, possibly getting taken off of the non-football injury list. But we're going to see Andre Branch tonight. We're going to see Chris Smith. We're going to see Ryan Davis. So I think tonight in the regular season, you're going to see mostly Andre Branch and Ryan Davis, at the Leo position. And I think Chris Clemons is going to go to a situational pass rusher type role.
We're not going to see Jared Odrick tonight. We will see Dan Scuda. We will see Devon House. Which of these new additions, these veteran free agents on the defensive side, interests you most?
Well, Jared Odrick, first and foremost, he's a defensive lineman. You know, I watch them very closely. But I like him because he's got flexibility. He can play the strong side end where they have him slated to start. But if Sendarek Marks is not ready to go for the season opener, he's a guy that could just put right in there and play the three technique. Tyson Alualu can do that as well. But I'm excited to see him play. At some point, Dan Scuda, I want to see him play tonight, and he's going to play.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. Have a great evening.
You can hear him on the radio, folks. That'll do it for Jaguars.com Live in the pregame presented by Everbank. Enjoy the evening.